A little doo-loo.
A little doo-loo. And she hears us saying her name.
Oh, yeah.
And her mommy is here, too.
Yeah, well, she loves... I don't even need a leash. I go everywhere with her. I don't even have a leash in the car, in my purse. She just follows.
Does she?
Yeah. She doesn't like to let me out of sight. Like, so I'm on a book tour right now.
Yeah.
And I will sit in a bookstore for 10 hours. You know, got to have a pee break, got to go get something to eat sometimes. Yeah. So I'll ask somebody, you know, can you watch her while I go grab something at Starbucks? And inevitably they're like, she was just looking at the last location where you went out of sight the whole time.
Chantel Hyde is Canada's dating expert. I think they call that codependency in the dating world, don't they, Chantel?
Oh, I call it love.
When you're so enthralled with another soul that you just can't stop with the eyes. So, that's impressive. That is impressive. Now, if you were walking down the sidewalk with little Lulu, what kind of dog is she?
She's a Maltese Pomeranian cross.
So she would not take off after a squirrel or a person?
Do you know what's so cute? With my brother-in-law one day, we went from his place. He lived above Frank's Jewelers in Waterloo. And we walked up the street to a little pizza place. And little Lulu coming up, four blocks, no leash. We go inside the pizza place and she's that little dog in the window. Just like, Mom... Are you coming back out? Yeah.
And you, I think that I would talk about Lulu because I think that the way you trained Lulu is, I don't want to say useful in relationships, i.e. like the way you train someone, but it's all about the tone that you set, isn't it?
It's about the energy.
Yeah.
And when you have, because people say like, she's so calm. That's what they say all the time. She's so calm. And I say, she's calm because I'm calm. And again, it all comes back to women being the emotional leaders in a relationship. Like every relationship needs an emotional leader. And it can be the man too. Just somebody needs to be that really calming force within the relationship. And for her and I, that's me. And that's why she's so bonded to me, because nowhere else does she feel so safe.
Yeah.
Because I'm the most stable being in her life.
I want you to meet my dog.
Okay.
Because she's crazy.
Because you're crazy.
Exactly.
I need to train you,
loopy.
Jennifer.
I know.
I rehabilitate dogs. I train people.
It's good crazy. Mostly good crazy. Although my love of my life for the second time around often says to me, baby, you got to hide your crazy. He knows it and he gets it. But so, you know, he's like, you can't just let everybody see the crazy all the time. I'm like, oh, I made a career out of it. But
okay, Jennifer, I'm the woman whisperer.
Are you?
Yes, let me whisper you.
Like, even just your voice makes me like,
Yeah. Okay. And that's, we're custom made. Every single one of us is custom made for something. Like, you are physically, even you're spiritually, you're custom made. I am custom made to calm and soothe people. My brain is made to give perspective. My voice is made to calm.
Gosh, I feel like I need to know what my purpose is now.
Well, isn't it here?
It
I think
is.
This
it
is
totally
your purpose.
Is.
Absolutely.
You're right. So the crazy works for me. Biggest, biggest
I like your crazy.
Curse. Thank you. Yeah. I'm not going to hide it for you.
Don't.
Biggest curse, biggest blessing. Okay, so first of all, let's talk. I'm watching you on social media. You have not stopped moving for someone who's so zen.
Yeah.
You are just about everywhere. So if this is the first time somebody's tuning in with you and I and listening to Chantel Hyde, Canada's dating coach for expert for the very first time. Well, first of all, they need to know that you have how many books? Do we have now?
Okay, four.
Four books.
Number five is coming out this month. Number six is coming out next month. I wrote the chapter outline for number seven last week. By the way, 7, 8, 9 are trashy romance novels.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I'm taking a detour.
Ooh,
yeah.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, and somewhere in there is another self-help book for relationships for gay couples, because it keeps coming at me that I need to write this.
Okay.
So I've got... two counselors that help gay couples that are going to help me. So that is going to come out at some point too. And that one's going to be called Love.
L-O-V-E.
L-O-V-E.
Oh, I thought you were going to give me
an
acronym.
In rainbow colors.
In rainbow colors.
Yeah,
okay.
In beautiful rainbow colors. Yeah.
So now, and just to give people some backup too, or some kind of, history too. So these books run the gamut. They run the gamut. They everything from, dating to divorce to...
helping a woman through a breakup.
Yeah.
Helping her make sure she's going to date online, that she's not getting caught up with losers, scammers, posers, predators. Helping her make sure she's picking the right partner. Helping her make sure she's getting through the first year without turning little things into big fights. And then helping her be the healing force within her relationship and healing the baggage that typically both people bring into the relationship.
So you can really kind of, I mean, you can start at the beginning with you.
Wherever you are.
Or pick up
if that. If you're not heartbroken, then just pick up No More A-Holes. If you are heartbroken, start with Comeback Queen. If you're not dating online, don't worry about Fake Love Need Not Apply. But if you are looking online, definitely pick up Fake Love Need Not Apply.
So where can people see you like next?
The next stop is Stony Creek. But I've got like 14 more stops.
Yeah, you're local a lot.
Yeah. I'm through Ontario and Quebec. Like I've got some Quebec locations too. So go to my website, canisdatingcoach.com, and take a look, see when I'm coming to an Indigo Chapters near you, because that's where all my stops are.
So as we are into spring and feeling good and there's sunshine in our step and our heart today. So, you know, definitely, you know, a season of kind of maybe renewal. Maybe it's been a long, cold, vicious winter and people are ready to kind of, you know, get back out there in some way or form. Anything specific about like, because we've talked about what happens when you start dating around Christmas time, what happens when you start dating around New Year's time. Well, what happens when you start dating around springtime? Is there anything like kind of...
It's no different from the advice that I always give, which is when you meet somebody new, let them know you want to get to know them before you kiss, because kissing creates that aphrodisiac. And this is my hook when women come and see me at the bookstore. It's like, I look for a ring. And if there's a ring, I hold up, fix that.
Yes.
S-H-I-T.
Yes.
Which, by the way, everybody loves my titles.
They well, you
and
get,
I, it's I because love Indigo.
It's because they have dirty words at them. Who doesn't like that?
Well, it resonates. Like, if you're in a relationship and you've been fighting, then it's going through your mind, like, I need to fix this crap.
Yeah.
And if you're single and you just keep making the same mistakes over and over, you've already said to your girlfriends, oh, my God, I'm so tired of a-holes. Mm-hmm. So if it resonates with them, it just draws them right in.
So we have some listener letters, and I want to give the my address again, jennifer@570news.com. You can send us emails, anything. And guys, gals, whatever. Now, women tend to come to you because you're a woman.
But I have some men, too. Like, there was one this weekend who said, I'm dating this wonderful woman. We've been dating for several years, but... she tends to go back to her ex when things get more serious with us. And he's like, what do I do? And I said, well, you know, you have to have the conversation with her where you're saying, look, I understand why you're doing this, because this is what's familiar. And I mean, the guy doesn't treat her well versus
her ex, right?
Versus this guy here. And he's like, you know, I understand that when things get so well between us, it becomes uncomfortable because you're used to things not going so well for you in your relationship, which is why you keep going back and getting his attention when things with us are going so great. So I understand that that's your cycle because it feels uncomfortable. And even when things get great, if it's not what we're used to, we can't predict the future because now it's something new. And so that makes us really physically uncomfortable. I get that. But this is what I'm offering you. This is what's on the table. This is what I'm giving you. And I need to know, what do you want? Do you want this? Are you going to plug into this? Or are you just going to keep going back to that? Because eventually I have to ask myself, what do I want? Do I want to be in a relationship with somebody who keeps going back to their ex?
And like, how many second chances does somebody get in a situation like that? Is it all, is different for everybody?
It's different.
What
it's,
your tolerance is? And
well, I think part of it too is the spiritual connection, because, you know, my husband and I, we've been together for 12 years and there was some splits in our relationship. And what kept bringing us back to each other was we both had a fundamental knowledge that below all the BS that was going on in our relationship, we would be so good if we could just clear the static.
And you did.
We did.
And you did.
Yeah.
Which, see, because when you talk about that story, and I hear you say that, I hear it. I hear, you know, I kind of flash back to girlfriends telling me that kind of stuff, and my own experiences. And to me, I always feel like, okay, but it shouldn't be that hard. But if you do the work, you're saying that you can go from that place of turmoil and tumultuousness into something that that is good.
But you have to change your brain, because every time we have a thought, like every time I think about you, Jennifer, you own a part of my brain. Like, there is a neural transmitter that belongs to you and you only. And every time I think about you, my thought process runs down that neural pathway. And if I think about you a lot, it's going to make it really strong. So I need to change my brain if I want to get unhooked off of you.
Mm.
And meditation helps. And redirecting your thoughts helps. So every time my thought goes down the Jennifer channel, if I don't want it to go down the Jennifer channel, I have to say, okay, I'm going to change the channel. So what am I going to think of instead right now?
Right. And if they're, but if they're, because there's two people, right? So both people have to be, if you've set up this pattern in a relationship of, you know, that there are issues, that there are problems, that you're always trying to work something out. So then not only does one person have to change their thought process and their patterns, both people do.
In essence, but it just takes one leader.
Okay.
And so, like, in the relationship between my husband and I, you know, we fought a lot. And both of our amygdalas were shooting off quite a bit, the fight or flight
in
our brain, right?
Mm-hmm, that we've learned from talking to you can be, you can manipulate that into doing better things for you, into serving you better.
It.
Yeah.
Yep.
With the meditation.
Harvard did a study, had people come in, do an MRI scan, go home, meditate for 8 weeks, come back, do another MRI scan. They looked at the two scans side by side and went, wow, look at the changes in the brain. The amygdala shrank, which is your fight or flight. The hippocampus grew, which is your introspection and compassion. So I literally, through meditation, changed my brain, which changed my emotions, which changed my behaviors. When my behaviors change, my husband's behaviors change. Because with what's going on inside of us, we're always infecting each other. So in a loving, caring relationship, when one of you becomes an emotional leader, ultimately the other one follows.
Mm. Yeah. So setting the tone and
yes.
and kind of, you know.
It takes two people to fight.
Yeah.
So I took myself out of the fighting equation. So when he came home and his amygdala is shooting off and he's poking me trying to start a fight to exteriorize what's going on inside of him, my response, with all sincerity, because that's where I am emotionally, is I don't want to fight. And so it takes it down.
And did he, so you consciously would say that.
Yeah.
And he would, what was his reaction to that?
He'd say, I don't want to fight either. Because ultimately, in a loving relationship, nobody wants to fight, but we are human beings and we are reactive to our systems.
And we take things personally.
Like, that's ego.
Because you just said it was, you know, sometimes it wasn't, it had nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
It was what was happening, you know, during the day or something, and he's irritated and gets home and then, you know, but we internalize that.
And,
you know?
And what that is that's our ego going, you know, like when you feel that hot flush of anger, that is your ego disagreeing with what's outside of you. Because your ego says things should be a certain way.
Yeah.
And when what's outside of you is a different way, your ego goes whoosh. And it gives you that hot flush. And most of us, we take that as a status quo. Like, I need to react to this and change what's outside of me so it fits what my ego says things should be like.
Mm-hmm.
If we take a moment, if we don't react to that flush, if we don't say anything, if we don't act on it, instead we ask ourselves, why did my ego react? What is the truth outside of me that's making me angry and hurt? And so instead of reacting to him with my ego and going, how dare you talk to me like that? I can take myself down, take a moment, think about it, and go, you know what? It's not necessary for me to react to this. I'm going to let that moment slide.
Whew. So not easy to say or do.
Meditation helps. Meditation helps because...
Yeah.
When your amygdala is overactive and your ego rises up, your amygdala goes, hell yeah, let's go with this.
Mm-hmm, let's fight.
When you shrink your amygdala, then those moments where your ego rises up, it's just a moment. It's actually reduced in capacity in terms of the stress, anxiety, and anger that's created.
And when you know that is what's happening, that physical response, when you understand it,
yes.
like you have just explained it to us so eloquently, when you get that and you know what that is and you can name it and claim it and tame it, you know, you kind of, you have the understanding about, okay, this is what's happening to me and it doesn't have to happen to me. I can stop this.
100%. And, you know, like I said, there's two parts of your brain that change. So the amygdala, fight or flight, shrinking, your hippocampus, which is your introspection and compassion, increases. So exactly what you said, you have a better capacity to take a look at yourself, calm yourself down, look at this situation with compassion. I can look at my husband and say, that wasn't about me when he came home angry. It was about his overactive amygdala.
Right. Something is wrong with your amygdala. I'm going to try that next time. Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to do this. Listen, this is a doozy letter, too. We're going to do this listener letter, and it is anonymous. Coming up next, it is 9:48 on 570 News. Okay, Chantal Hyde, Canada's dating expert, is here with us. We always are so pressed for time because you and I are good at talking to each other.
We need a girl time hour, like a girl talk hour.
Yeah, we do. I was going to suggest we should do like wine too, but that I don't actually think that's a good idea anymore. No. Not with the microphones.
Not wine, tequila.
Without the microphones. Okay, so Chantal is here to help you in any way when it comes to love. Jennifer at 570news.com is where you can send your letters. You can call us too at star 570 or at 519-570-2545. So let's get right into this. This is a good one. This is a really good letter, and it is anonymous. We'll see what you have to say, Chantal. So this woman writes, I've become obsessed with a beautiful, really beautiful, artistic, messed up, soulful, self-centered romantic who's 9 years younger than I am. For the past 3 years, we've been having occasional sex, but the essence of our relationship is me advising him about his continuously tortured love life. Women throw themselves at him. I'm not conventionally pretty. I guess you might call me striking, but obviously I'm charmed that he chooses me as his one constant. But in my head, I know this is crazy. He loves only what he can't have. I've sworn off him numerous times. I've deleted him from my life, but I'm always drawn back. Our circles of friends are acquainted, and I can't get away from him. Social media makes it worse. The problem is, I'm already in an amazing relationship, and my longtime boyfriend is completely faithful. I understand right from wrong, and I know what I should do, but I need your help with this obsession. I think about him all the time, day and night, who he's with, what he's doing. I hate it, but when he tells me how much he needs me, I cannot resist. Signed, under his spell.
Ooh la la. Yeah.
Write that into one of those books.
Weren't we just talking about this?
Right? We were, weren't we?
Yeah. So I'm very familiar with this state of mind, which is spinning beyond control and wanting to stop thinking about somebody or something and just getting caught up over and over again, despite myself. And that was happening before I started meditating, before I learned how to redirect my thoughts, before I learned how to let go of negative emotions now. I feel so good. So here is the first thing that popped into my mind when I heard this letter, and that is the great big question. Why? Why do we keep allowing ourselves to get caught up in these relationships? And let's clarify, dear listener, you are not his one constant. You are his one constant dysfunction. That is what you are. And what you need to start telling yourself is the truth about this situation. You are an ego stroke and nothing more.
Wow. Ego stroke and nothing more.
Yeah.
And probably not the only one.
Well, that's what she's saying too. Like, I keep advising him on his love life, and on the side, every once in a while, I satisfy his ego too. Yeah.
You know, she feels like she's that special one. Like, no, she's the special one. She's the one that he talks to.
You're the most special dysfunction.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's get to the truth about this, because he's not devoted to her. He's not devoted to her feelings. He's not devoted to her well-being. He's devoted to the attention he gets from her when he's not getting enough somewhere else. You are his one constant dysfunction, and you are allowing him to create dysfunction in your life, and that will spill over into your relationship at some point. And it is mentally, because she is mentally fractured. She's not all in with this wonderful person who's giving her what she wants and what she needs. Part of her is still drawn to that dysfunction. And that's what we were talking about earlier, is that neural pathway. She's thought about him so much. It's like the Grand Canyon, right? So initially it wasn't the Grand Canyon. It's just so much water started going down the same pathway that it carved something very big and deep that now sucks a lot of water into it. and her thought train is getting naturally just pulled in gravitational force into this very wide, deep chasm in her brain, and she needs to fix that chasm in her brain through meditation and redirection. And redirection is the most important part here. So whenever she finds that she's thinking about him, she has to impose another thought. So it, you know, it could be coming up with the truth. Like for me, for instance, one time, you know, the last time my husband broke up with me, and it was like the third time, and I was like, okay, I can't do this anymore. I can't have this relationship with somebody who's not fully plugged in anymore, and who can break up with me because he's just frustrated. And so the last time he'd broken up with me, I said, are you sure? And he said, yes. And I said, that's too bad. And for me, that was the door closing. And every time I started thinking about, I miss him, I miss the good things, then I would redirect with, F you, mm-hmm. This is what was wrong with our relationship.
Right.
So every time you find yourself thinking fondly about him,
yeah.
Redirect, F you, with anger.
Remember the bad. Yeah.
Get angry. This is how you get over somebody.
We've got like 30 seconds left. Can you be in an amazing relationship is it really an amazing relationship if you're having sex with someone else?
Well, this is the dysfunctional part.
Okay.
Yeah. You need to unplug from this person and you need to stop going places where he is. Like wherever your triggers are, you need to get him out. You need to meditate to shrink your amygdala. You need to redirect your thought and plug into
new
this
friends.
Amazing person.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I have lots of people. Actually, I know of a couple who listen to the show who are like polyamorous and in open. So I'm not talking about that. I mean, you can, obviously that's what's working for your life. I'm just saying if you're in an amazing relationship.
Yeah.
How amazing is
anything
it?
Anything with permission is allowed, right?
Right. Anything with permission is allowed. You are hereby granted permission and allowed to go to Chantel's website.
CanasDatingCoach.com.
And find out where you can get a hold of her and her books and maybe go have a little visit with Lulu too.
Mm-hmm. Find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
Can you believe that it's over again?
So fast.
It's crazy. I love it. It is 9:58. Andrew Crystal is filling in the interim for Eric Drost, who's left us. There's some dysfunction there, too. People are very sad that he's left us, but we wish him well. I thank you for your time. Andrew Crystal is on the way next, and I will see you in the morning.